I'm going to speak about the presence of God, something very simple, but something that we take for granted. I think I told the story here a couple of weeks ago, or was it last year, when I was standing on the airport and having a discussion with this one person. We were on our way to fly out, and then a little black man came walking past. He sort of walked past, and the next moment he stopped, like in his tracks. And then he turned around and he came to me and he said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Yes." He said, "So am I." Because the Holy Spirit just showed me and arrested me, he said, when I walked past you. And last week, Anton and Vainan went to do a pastor's conference at that pastor's church in the eastern parts of Kenya. And it is amazing that they're doing exactly the same as we are. They've got a heart for church planting. They've got a heart to see the nations come to God. And it's just like family. And in all that crowd, something was stood out. Something connected us. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God. And yet many times as believers, and especially in the Western world, we take it for granted that God manifests himself to us. And that God is everywhere. God is doing amazing things. And what we tend to do is we tend to focus on our fears or the negative stuff. And then we sort of get critical and we go off on this one tangent. And we sort of think, well, I must change myself all the time. I must do lots of stuff. But Jesus' promise was very simple. He said, if you would just follow me, I will make you. If you follow me, I will make you. God does not say, sit around, wait, make yourself, and when you're ready or when you're perfect, then come and follow me. He said, no, just follow me. Just follow my voice. Just be obedient. Just start to do, and as you move with me, I'm going to make you. I'm going to show you great things. And we see this beautiful picture of God in the Old Testament, the cloud and the fire, fire by night, the cloud by day, as these Israelites would move out, there was like this cloud and this fire that moved, and they would know, sometimes they would stop for 3 weeks and pitch a tent there, and nobody would know when this cloud would move on. But then suddenly, whoop, there goes the cloud, and everybody, 4 million Jews, would pack up all their stuff, and here they go. And then they move on again, they'll stop at a place, and then they'll be there for 3 years. Just nobody knows when he's going to move, whether they must pitch, whether what you know, just like a flexibility. An ability to move, ability to change, a beautiful picture of the presence of God in our lives. And that is why we must always be open to change. We must always be open to grow, because God is perfecting his bride. Are you with me this morning? That is just simply part of the first part of the introduction of this three-hour sermon. Are you with me? The more you're going to say amen, the quicker you're going to go home today. Because in Africa, they say, preach it, brother, all the time. You know, yeah, you sort of, I'm waiting for a response, but I know some are going to get there. Okay. So we're talking about the presence of God. God is omnipresent. And there are three ways that I would just want to focus on, and that God would manifest himself in the earth and in our lives and through our lives. And the first one is the fact we need to know that God is everywhere at the same time, at the same place. Now, don't try to figure this out. But while we're sitting here and we are speaking about the Word of God and we are worshiping God, there are people on the other side of the world, 130 million Chinese Christians that are worshiping God and saying, speaking their hearts to God. And while you are saying to God very intimate stuff in your heart, they are worshiping God over there and they're saying intimate stuff and speaking to God. And God is listening to everybody at the same time, at the same place, and he's putting all his attention on you. And me. And he's like, I'm here, but I'm also there. I'm everywhere. Hello. Now, don't try to figure that out with your mind. Our brains are too small to try and contain God. But the fact is, God is everywhere. God is at move, and God is doing stuff in the world. We don't see it on CNN these days because, you know, they don't want to focus on stuff like that. But God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. Say, God is omnipresent. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We're going to get somewhere today. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where could I go from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence? David says, there's no place. In Isaiah 6, verse 3, the angels proclaim it. They say that the whole earth is full of God's glory. The whole earth is full of His presence, full of His glory. That word for glory is kabod, which means the weighted presence of God. And yet when you look in the natural, you don't see always. You think like, whoa, Lord, where are You? What's happening? But Scripture says, and the angels say it over and over, and they don't get tired after saying it for the 30th time or the 3 millionth time. They just say it over and over. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Because it is really so. Because when you look and you focus on the presence of God, and you begin to see what God is doing, you get so excited. Because you go up to Malawi, and there we met with people from Sierra Leone that has just in the last 3 years planted like 3,000 churches. And they say, come, you must come over there because you must see what God is doing, because we want to impart some stuff to you, and you must impart some stuff to us, because we need to learn from each other. There's massive revival breaking out there after a civil war of many years. And then you think, wow, God is at move in Africa, and God has got like-minded people all across the world working in their lives and working in our lives. And that's so exciting. Hello. That was a good place to say amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, God is at work all across the world, and the angels can see it, but sometimes, you know, we sit in our box and then we think, oh, you know, what must God manifest yourself, do something, you know. But God is at work all the time. He's got a perfect plan. In Romans chapter 8, it's not on there, but it says that, you know, where can I hide myself from God's love? There's no height, no depth, no width, no nothing that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He says, wherever I go, even if I want to go into hell, I'll be aware of God. Hello? Nothing. The only thing that's not included is your past. Did you know that? The only place where God's presence is not in your past. Think about that one. The only place where God's presence is not in your past. And yet the devil reminds us of our past and the negative stuff in our lives all the time. Hello? Hello? And that's why we must live in the fullness of God. Can you hear me clearly? Okay. So, that's God's omnipresence. God is at work everywhere at the same time. So, the second thing that I want to focus on is God's indwelling presence. And that we find in John chapter 15. Scripture that we all know. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Then it goes on in verse 5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. It's a beautiful picture. If you go out and you walk outside here and you go and look at the branches, the branch and the vine connected. There's not actually a place where it starts and where it ends. Did you know that? It's sort of just like a T. You don't know exactly. You can't say it's there where it connects. It's actually the one grows into the other one. The one is a connect. There's a whole thing that connects together. And it's a beautiful picture where Jesus says, look here, first what you must do is you must abide in me. But then he says, I'm going to abide in you. And this is what Ephesians talks about. It says that the greatest mystery of the ages is Christ in us, the hope of glory. But then the other chapters in Ephesians talks about the fact that we are in Christ. Christ is in us and we are in Christ. In Revelations, God says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open up, then I come in and you will feast with me and I will feast with you. Says we're going to eat together. We're going to have intimate relationship. We're going to come to a place where you're going to understand that even when you go to whatever place in North Korea somewhere, whatever persecution, whatever happens in this world in the last days, nothing can take you away. Why? Because the secret is actually I've come to live inside of you. So they can strip you from whatever, they can do whatever, but the fact is I'm depositing something inside of you. Are you with me this morning? And that's what Jesus said, you know, as we continue, we must know, we must abide, we must stay in that place because you can be removed out of that place. You can get distracted. You can walk out of that place of God's indwelling presence because you sort of start to focus on this worldly things or the stuff out there. And I love it to go up into Africa and to other cultures because their people have got an inheritance of being much more open to spiritual things, especially black people up in Africa and here in South Africa. You know, when you pray for them to get filled with the Holy Spirit, they just respond immediately. It's like, whoa, you know. You don't need to explain to them, okay, try to figure out with your brain what's happening, because they've got a spiritual inheritance. There's lots that we can learn as a Western, more culture, from people up in Africa, because they just, like, you will drive in the car, and the next moment, they'll just all start to sing together. The same song. And then you think, like, did you put on the radio? What happened? You know, what's going on? Yeah. But then there's like a unity, a growing together, and there's such a spiritual inheritance that we have. Because Jesus said, I'm going to confound the world by coming to live inside of you. Now you think, Jesus, how does that work? No, can't work. This massive God, he comes to live inside of me. That's what he does. Through his Holy Spirit. And I love what it says here at the end. It says, without me, you can do nothing. Hello. Without me, you can do nothing. Turn to somebody next to you and say, without God, you can do nothing. Nothing that has got eternal value, nothing that has got any significance. There will be no significance outside of God. Beautiful. He says, for without me. Now that's not, you know, Jesus knew who he was and he just said, without me, nothing, bro, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay. That is just an Indian language, Indian. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, it says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you? And it's a beautiful picture when he talks about the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. It says, actually, it uses a word, arabon, down payment, a seal that God places on us. Sort of God says, I put my Spirit in you, but it's like a deposit. It's like a guarantee that I'm going to come back, a guarantee that there's an eternal life. So when you receive the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Spirit, you must like go, yes, yes. Woo! God has given me something. He's placed a seal on my heart, in my life. The fullness of this Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is working in my life. It's working through my life. And I must rejoice in that. I must acknowledge the person of the Holy Spirit because there's eternal value. It's like God is like, sharp. Let's put that little thing. I won't say a dot, whatever. On the person. But he says, I come to dwell with you. Now, many Christians, what we do is we love God visiting us. But Scripture says he actually dwells with us. And that's why we can quench the Holy Spirit. That's why we can grieve the Holy Spirit if we do stuff in a fleshly way. If we do stuff by ourselves. But he says, yeah, God wants to dwell with you. That's what the same that says God came to tabernacle amongst us through Jesus coming to live. It's the same word. It says he came to live amongst us. And that's why when we open up our homes and we open up our relationships, there's a dynamic, a spiritual dynamic that God wants to release in your and my life that just makes everybody else stand still and say, what is different? Somebody asked me this week, they said, if you would stand in the court of law and you, the crime is the fact that you are a Christian, would there be enough evidence against you that can prove that you're a Christian? I'm going to say it very slowly again. If you would be convicted today of the fact in a court of law, there's like prosecutors against you, they must make a case against you that you're a Christian. Is there enough evidence that they can send you to jail for the fact that you're a believer of Jesus Christ? Hello? No condemnation. But it's so important. Do people know? Is there a seal? Is there something different in your life? And the answer is yes. The promises are there. God says, I've come. I've given my Holy Spirit to you. Let me say this, and it's a bit controversial maybe. The charismatic church, I don't believe today, is Spirit-filled. I believe the charismatic church has been baptized with the Holy Spirit. But Spirit-filled means overflowing. Grace, the fullness of God's grace manifests. That's charismata. I don't think we close to what God wants us to do. But because we get somebody to pray for us, maybe at a foundation or at some stuff, and once we pray it in tongues, then we think, well, oh, you know, I'm God's gift to the world. But most people don't operate. Hello. Hello. God's temple. So his indwelling spirit. What will happen when you've got God's indwelling spirit? Three things, quickly. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God would talk about the fullness of joy, the volheid van vreugde in God's presence. It's like nothing could really faze you because you know, knowing God and in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. That means there can be half measures of joy and 1/10 of joy, a tithe of joy and 1/100 of joy and a little bits of joy. So obviously, because God says, but there's a fullness of joy when we come into His presence, when we connect with God. He said, at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's like when you look at God, God is a good God. He's not like a try to be perfect God. There's nothing that we can do that can add anything to God. Because He's God. He's omnipresent. He doesn't need our worship. And yet He loves it. He loves us when we come to Him. So fullness of joy. The second thing that will begin to happen in our lives, when we see God's presence and we understand this massive gift, this massive thing that's here inside of us when we're saved and when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, is very simply God's kingdom will start to manifest wherever we go. And Jesus went to length about teaching about the kingdom. Now you get lots of teaching that's really weird about the kingdom that says the kingdom here, the kingdom there, read the book here and win a kingdom there or whatever. But the kingdom is very simply is where Jesus reigns. And where does He reign? Point to where Jesus reigns. Right there. Hello. Luke 17:21. For indeed the kingdom is within you. It says if you want to know where the kingdom is, it's just within you. It's where Jesus starts to manifest. I love what these guys from Bethel say. They say, you must go and leak Jesus wherever you go. Jy moet Jesus uitlek. Jy moet soos 'n virus wees. You must be like a virus. Wherever you go, you just contaminate the whole world with the love of Christ and the fullness of Christ. Why? Because the kingdom is inside of you. Now, some people think, well, and that's something that challenged me a lot, is the fact that, you know, you come to a place and then we stand there and now we think, okay, God, do me a favor right now because, Lord, let your kingdom come right now here. You must do something while I watch. But Scripture says if the kingdom is inside of you, it means wherever you go, the kingdom goes. So when you go into the shopping mall, do you know what you must expect for the kingdom to come? And you just say, Lord, open my eyes to see where you're moving. Open my eyes to see what you're doing. Because the moment when that happens, you start to see miracles and signs and stuff happening. I told the story at the training the other night. You know, I was just stopping next to the robot and I looked to the guy next to me in the car next to me and I prayed. I said, okay, Lord, touch this man. The next moment he started to cry, weep. I was thinking, you know, and then we sort of like, whoa, what's happening here, you know? But the kingdom is coming. Why? Because I almost see it like a bubble. You know these bubbles, these balls that people run on in when they on the water? Have you seen those bubbles? It's not nice when you go in there. You can't breathe properly, but so don't try it. But it's a good example of this stuff on the water, you know? So people run and like this massive bubble. And so wherever you go, people come into the bubble of the kingdom. We see it in Scripture when the guys walked past people, just casting their shadow on people that got healed. Said, well, silver and gold we don't have, but something we can give to you. In the name of Jesus, be healed. We can give to you what God has done. And so many Christians don't know that the kingdom must come through you. Wherever you go, whatever God has given you, just give it away. Because the moment when you start giving it away, you're going to receive more. But the more you sit and you hold on to what you have, do you know what? There's nothing that's going to happen in your life. Because the kingdom is a constant flow. It's a constant growing. That was a good place to say amen. Romans 14:17, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. A relationship with the Holy Spirit. A freedom to just move with God and to do what He has called us to do. In that place where there's an intimate, personal relationship. And I want to encourage us again. Because we call ourselves charismatic Christians, but many people don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit as a person. When you wake up in the morning, you must say, Holy Spirit, thank you. Welcome. You are here. I'm here. You must actually say it like that. I'm here. You've been here all the time. Thank you. Thank you that you're my best friend, Jesus. And Lord, wherever I go, teach me stuff. Show me stuff. Because you're already moving in people's lives and you're doing stuff in. So I just want to see where you're moving. And whenever you do that, you begin to connect and you partner with God. I love in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus sends out the 12 or the 70. He comes to a place and then he says, he sent them to every place where he himself was about to go. It's like a partnership with God, like a freedom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And then it comes to the gifts. Look what it says, you know, and sometimes we are so afraid these days to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, maybe you don't believe it, you're sitting here this morning, we should not be shy as Christians to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because that is part of our inheritance. That's part of that seal, a promise. And that's why Scripture says that tongues are for unbelievers. There are signs that God wants to manifest for tongues that the unbelievers will say, wow, this is God. Hello. So part of that indwelling fullness of God in our lives is the fact that the gifts of God will operate. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Each one of you, there's a gift that God has given you, and you must use it. Use it or lose it. Therefore, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 39, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly. He says you must hunger after your spiritual inheritance. He says when you desire, it's good for you. You must long for God to move in you and through you. You must say, God, that is what I want. I want your manifest presence. I want your fullness in my life. He says, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Sometimes we've grown so quiet because we want to impress people. And we're afraid of people, but then we walk away from our inheritance. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul writes and he says, my brethren, he writes to a charismatic church, people that are operating in the gifts. He says, I pray more in the Spirit than all of you together. So, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, where you edify yourself is part of our inheritance. And we should not be ashamed of that because it's in the Bible, people. It's part of the Bible. It's part of the package. And the more you're going to pray in the Spirit, what Scripture says, what happens, you speak mysteries unto God. You get edified. It's like going to a spiritual gym. So the more you pray in the Spirit, the more your capacity increases to receive the download from God and to connect with the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us, you know, we are so afraid to go there because we think we're going to offend people. But it's full. The Bible is full of the miracles of God. And speaking in tongues, if you go and read the book of Acts, every time when people got filled with the Holy Spirit, they laid hands on people and they started to speak with tongues and prophesy, Scripture says. But you know, I was afraid because, ons conservatisme, hou ons baie keer mos 'n bietjie terug, want ons is so bang ons gaan mense offend. So I never asked the right questions. Because I went to people, you know, when I grew up, some people said to me, oh no, the gifts, they're just there for some people, just some people in the church. And then it made me think, well, then obviously some people must be more spiritual than others. Because why can't I operate in the gifts? The only question that I didn't ask was my own stupidity, as I didn't go to that person and say, okay, show me the some people. Show me the miracles. Show me one person that you know that are operating in the fullness that the Bible talks about. Because then I can go learn from that person. But I never asked that question because I just assumed, because people say stuff, we're going to just move on. But wake up, Church of God. There are two groups of people that Scripture talks about in the last days. Wise virgins and foolish virgins. Some have got oil in the lamp and some have got no oil in the lamp. And they are not going to make it. Doesn't matter how hard you try in the flesh. If you don't have oil in the lamp, you will not see the bridegroom's coming. That's what Scripture says. Hello? If your lamps are not full, if you're not ready for the coming in the days that we are moving in, Scripture says many people, the love of many will grow cold. Why? Because they don't have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. There is no formulas, there are no rules. The only way that you can make it in what's happening all across the world today is when you can discern God's voice and where God is moving and where His glory is if you've got an intimate relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Hello. Otherwise, you're just going to become back very late. Doesn't mean that you can't have a relationship with God or anything like that. It just means that you can't be effective. And I'm not speaking down at any people But people, that's what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it so, I woke up this morning with that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. And I couldn't get the song out of my mind, you know. I was singing it the whole morning from 5 o'clock, and I would try to get to sleep again, but this song just popped up all the time. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. So very simply, what does your Bible tell you? Jesus loves you? Yes. But there's a dynamic, a spiritual dynamic and an inheritance that we should not be ashamed of. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Scripture says, how do you know it? How do you get into maturity? Well, very simply, you need to exercise the gifts that you have. The only way is not by waiting for God to drop something out of heaven. Say, oh Lord, here I am. I am praying and I'm fasting because maybe something is going to happen someday. Oh, please help me. Lord, I am a sinner. Oh, Lord. Scripture says, no. The only way that you can do that is by exercising. Otherwise, you get a spiritual boop. Okay? You get blown up. We ate so much rice and sima this week, you know. After about 3 days, you feel like this Oros Maniki. You feel like, oh, I can't eat rice and sima anymore, you know. Because your stomach isn't used. But, you know, that's so typical of many spiritual people, Christians. Just blown up because they eat the same food every day. They don't exercise. And Scripture says if you want to grow in maturity, well, very simply, just use it. Say to God, God, what little gift have you given me? Whether it's just serving or whether it's encouraging. You don't need to like go and see the miracles and stand in front of the mountain every day and say, mountain, be removed. And goof, there goes the mountain. Moves past Gordon's Bay, around Table Mountain. Goof, you place it over there and you say, okay, now I can, you know. Some of us will move in that. But you know, you've got a little gift. Start there. Do something. Now, some people are very excited in this place, and hallelujah, Hebrews 5 verse 14, but solid food. Some people remain drinking milk for the rest of their lives, and you know, God is not going to condemn anybody. It's not going to be negative, but I'm just always thinking, why would you settle for so little if you can have so much? And the choice is very simply your and my choice. We make the choice. Scripture says if we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. But you can make a choice and say, well, I am just going to be complacent. I don't care actually. Because I'm so busy. Wake up. Just before this week, we were traveling on our way to Malawi. The Lord said to me, America, this week, it's going to start happening. Alabama. But you know, it's so great to hear the voice of God and you know that you don't need to panic when you see that stuff because God has spoken. So when we came back and switched on the TV on Thursday, I saw, oh, okay, something happened in Alabama this week. But God said, I don't know if you know, there was like tornadoes and stuff like that. Because God speaks. And that's the most amazing thing. That's so exciting to walk with Him, to move with Him. But by reason of use, we have our spiritual exercise. That's why you cannot rely on yesterday. Today is the day. Today you have to wake up. Today I have to wake up. Today I have to say, Lord, I want to be ready. Hallelujah. So much for the chicken. It's going to burn later today with all the amens that I get here. I'm just trying to joke a little bit because you're very serious. I always take it in that people are really concentrating and so that's wonderful. So I'm not trying to belittle the fact that we don't say so many amens. Then to somebody next to you and say amen. Okay. Okay. So we spoke about God's omnipresence, the fact that God is everywhere. Then God's indwelling presence in your life, the fact that Jesus lives in your life. But there's another way that God shows Himself. It's called His manifest presence. And I'm very excited about this, but it's all over Scripture. Now, unfortunately, I must say this, sometimes in the charismatic church, people focus on this, the fact that God must manifest Himself physically, and then they think, well, if I shake, then that means that the Holy Spirit is there. And that is not the truth. Because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. So it's not in the manifestation. But it's in the fact that God wants to show himself as a powerful God. As one who acts, whose arm is not too short to heal and to touch and to deliver. So in John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And then scripture says, I will manifest myself to him. I will put myself on show to him. I will display, that's the word. I will display myself to him. The God's manifest presence. We see it many times in scriptures. Let me give you some example. We're not going to go to all of them. But when the temple was dedicated in 2 Chronicles, scripture says that the whole place was filled with smoke. Some people will talk about the glory, the manifest glory of God. Temple filled with smoke. Saul on the road to Damascus. We see a light shining. God's presence just like everybody. In the same way when Jesus came out of the Garden of Gethsemane. Scripture says the soldiers came walking up to him and then they said, who is Jesus? And he said, I am he. And then everybody fell down. All the whole God of the soldiers. They just fell down because the presence of God was so tangible. Die Afrikaans praat van God se tasbare teenwoordigheid. Dis amper jy kan dit proe. Jy kan dit ruik. Jy kan dit, jy weet net soos in, whoa, bly stil. Shh. You always see that sometimes when we worship, the children gets quiet because then suddenly God manifests his presence. There's like a corporate anointing for God to come in and then you just feel, wow, God is here. You don't need to say anything. God starts to do stuff and you just know, whoa, you know, just be reverent. Just yield to him. Jesus' transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, we see that, you know, he took these guys up on the mountain and then suddenly he just transfigured. He manifested his glory and his fullness. And I'm sharing this specifically about God's manifest presence because I strongly believe that in the days we're moving in, God wants to start manifesting himself in ways that we would not even think of. And that's why we need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit because it's going to be different than what we just think. If you go to Joel chapter 2 and you go and look at what is prophesied in Joel chapter 2 about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and you go and read what happened in Acts chapter 2 about what physically happened, you think, well, is it like two different accounts? It's not the same version. And yet Peter stands up and he says, that which God prophesied in Joel chapter 2, that's what's happening here. So if you're going to go by the letter and by the formula, you'll see that the smoke and the fire and all of that stuff, nothing happened what he prophesied. There was no dreams in Acts chapter 2. And yet, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, there was a shaking and there was a mighty rushing wind and lots of things happened. But if you're going to try and go by the formula, you think, whoa, is God confused? It's like two different accounts. And yet God says it's the same thing. Because it's about a relationship with the Holy Spirit. An intimate drawing closer to God. So that when you come to a place, then you can see, well, this is God. And you're going to know it because you've got a spirit witness. And that is what God wants to do when we start to worship God. That is why the CD is for us so important. Because it talks about the cross. It's not just another average little CD about me, mine, myself that wants to feel good. That's why we're praying for this. Because we want to bring, we trust in God to bring that message back to the world. To the church, the cross of Jesus. Because when you preach about the cross, what happened on the cross will manifest. When you worship God about his blood and you speak, you know, we don't hear these sermons about the blood of Christ and the cross anymore because people say, well, no, that is like old news. We must get something new. And now the emerging church people, they, you know, don't want to condemn the guy, but the Rob Bells of this world says there is no heaven and no hell. And that is heresy. That's not what the Bible says. But because the videos is nice and everything is nice, people just go in that direction. But he literally says there is no heaven and hell. Now, I'm not condemning the guy, but I'm just saying, well, it's not scriptural. And we must warn people of where we're at in these days. And yet there's a massive move of the church in America wanting to find a new gospel. Hello. And yet there's the truth of the gospel. There's the fullness of God. And when we preach that Christ and when we focus on that Christ, then do you know what? Christ can be the healer. He can be the deliverer. Are you with me today? Oh, lekker. the manifest presence of God. The last slide. Are you with me? And then we're going to pray. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I love that scripture. See, when God starts to move in our lives, then it's not a little formula or a little this or a little that, because when you go to Africa, in some places in Africa, you're going to see God, you know, they don't need a guitar to experience God. They just need their voices. And they sing the same song for an hour with more passion and more zeal, and then God's manifest presence comes. And then you stand and you think, oh, okay. Then you go up to Sudan, and people sing, the cross before me, the world behind me. And you think, oh, this is like 1980s, you know. Get with the program, you know. It's like really old stuff. And then the Holy Spirit just comes and God breathes on that. Because those were the songs that they would sing when they would march through the evenings, hide away from the people that tried to bomb and kill them. It kept them together. It gave them life. But then you realize it's a little bit different there than here. Than our, there's nothing wrong with our, but in 3 years, our is maybe going to just have drums. You know? But wherever you are, you know, the methods are going to change all the time. But the most amazing thing is the Holy Spirit is perfecting His bride. You know, looking at this royal wedding, there's something, I've got two daughters, so they looked at it all the time. And Naomi was just very thrown that the guy didn't kiss her in the church. Only later. That was, you know, but it's amazing what kids look at. But, you know, looking at all this fanfare and all of this stuff, and you realize, but people long for an experience. We've been made with the inbuilt experience to see royalty and to worship something. We've been made for, we've got a supernatural inheritance and inclination to worship a king. So you see all the grandeur and all the whole world stops. And the one guy, the reporter says, oh, in all the natural disasters and all the wars and all this stuff, there's some hope today that we can all stand still, the whole world, and find some hope again. And I'm thinking, that afternoon I did a wedding. And you know what? It was actually more glorious because the Holy Spirit was there. There was a tangible presence of God. And I realized all those millions of rands and dollars and pounds, nothing. It could not buy what happened that Friday afternoon with Rian's wedding. Because he stood there and at 2 o'clock it rained. 3 o'clock the wedding was supposed to start. And he just had a word from God. God said, it's going to stop raining. 2 o'clock, it rained still. 2:30, it stopped raining. The clouds opened up. We had perfect sunshine at his wedding. And I'm thinking, Lord, what a testimony of somebody that can hear your voice. While all the other people panic, we're going to have sunshine at our wedding. And I'm thinking, that's God. And all I'm doing today is I'm just sort of wanting to encourage us not to grow tired and grow weary and not to fall for the trap of the devil, to walk away from your spiritual inheritance and get into the flesh, to start to try to maneuver stuff, because God says, without me, you can do nothing. But I want to guide you. I want to show you. I want you to have an experience, a life, a fullness of life that wherever you go, things will start to manifest. You know, we pray there in the Malawian Parliament on Thursday morning. Was it Thursday morning? Wednesday morning. We walked through and then there was no person that could take us through. And then this one guy came to us and said, well, there's nobody here, but I'll go with you. And then we discovered, but he's a spirit-filled, born-again believer. And you cannot pray in the General Assembly, but you know what? He took us in so we could go and pray. And then God showed us stuff about the Parliament and what's happening and what's... And then I realized, wonderful. God opened the door. Here we are. We can decree stuff over a nation and over the president and over all the stuff that's happening there. And you walk out there and you know, I don't really know what happened, but I just know something happened because God is faithful. God is true. And people, we have to walk away from that negative stuff or trying to be perfect. But the Holy Spirit wants to be your best friend. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal and bring a fragrance of Jesus in your my life. That when you wake up in the morning, you don't want anything else but just to have intimate fellowship with Him. Not just in your quiet time, but the whole day. Where you walk with Him and God shows you stuff. And some of us have walked away from that inheritance because we've grown gun shy. We've grown truth shy. Because the whole world is marching in one direction. Some of us think, well, maybe God doesn't want to move in my life. He doesn't want to use me because I'm just very unspiritual and I'm just very intellectual or all that stuff. So God doesn't actually, you know, God wants to use your intellect. We must worship Him with body, soul, and spirit, with mind, the scripture says. Love Him with everything. But the time is up for church to be a program or a little gathering on a Sunday. The Holy Spirit is moving. And God is doing stuff. And the most amazing thing is you and I can partake of that. Will you stand with me today as the band is going to come up? That last scripture says in 2 Corinthians that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom. And God has been speaking a lot to me in the last 3 weeks about just being spirit-filled and what it means and surrendering, yielding. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Continual filling. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Always in everything give thanks to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, in everything, there's a place that you can occupy with God. Like Lucille prayed a couple of weeks ago, if you've not been there, get that CD, download it, about thanksgiving. But Scripture wants us to move in a place where there's this fullness of experience with God, and in everything you can give thanks. Doesn't matter what comes against you, what the angels are phoning in. Just hold a moment. Okay. But doesn't matter what comes against you, you can stand and you can actually rejoice, because you can rejoice always because of your relationship with God. Because of a drawing close to Him. And there's some of you that the devil has placed stuff, and especially depression and a spirit of heaviness that God is going to break over your life today. It's going to be a process, but He's going to kickstart it today when we just come to Him and say, okay, Lord, I realize that all the pills, there's a lady here, the Lord showed me, you've been drinking depression pills for the last 13 years. And I'm not going to call you out, but it's like a label that you've placed on yourself. And you hang on to that stuff. And there's some stuff in our lives that we just settle for second best. We just settle for that stuff and we think, well, I'm not young, you know. I don't like it when people tell me you must just get balanced. My life is too short to balance anything. I balance my one foot here and the other foot in heaven. That's what Scripture says. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So yes, for me, I must say no to all the opportunities. I must learn to say no. Because you know, there's a difference between chasing after success and chasing after significance. But when you're in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you do significant stuff that you don't always see even the results of. But it's because of a life of obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, do my commandments. But it's not like the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament legalistically. It's just, you want to do it. Because it's the most exciting thing to partner with God. And to move in a place of overflowing. Scripture says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Jesus said, there will be fountains of life coming from you that will spring up into the everlasting life. Not a well where you must dig everything down there, try so hard to connect. No, it's a fountain. Rivers are created from fountains. That whatever flows, people just come to drink. And they get satisfied. So people, if you're here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, today is a good day to start. Because that King is inviting you to be part of His kingdom. But He wants to rule in your heart. He wants to have control. Because that's what a king does. A king doesn't take orders from anybody. He just rules and he reigns. And very simply, Jesus is coming back as a king. And he's beginning to show us what it means to rule and reign with him. He's not coming back to rescue his bride from this evil world. Jesus is coming back to a conquering, overcoming, pure, spotless, spirit-filled bride that's ready for his coming. He's coming back. Somebody said to me this morning, don't tell people he's coming back. Say he's on his way. He's on his way. I love that. Jesus is on his way. But what's happening in your heart this morning? What boundaries and stuff are there that's hindering the Holy Spirit from just coming? Because sometimes we just ignore and we quench the Holy Spirit and we just go on in our old cycles and then we go through the wilderness again. But God wants to break those wildernesses over your life. That's why I sent the seal, the promise. That every time he looks from heaven, he says, no, that one is sealed, that one is sealed, that one is sealed, that one is sealed. Yes, yes, we're going to go somewhere. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. There's not formulas, religion, liberty, freedom to worship. So if you're here this morning, as we're going to worship the Lord now, if you are here and you don't have a relationship with God, or you know in your heart that you have been quenching the Holy Spirit, you've been grieving the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do certain continual sins over and over. Quenching is just we ignore the Holy Spirit. We pretend as if he's not there. And you want to say again to God, God, I've experienced it. There's some people that experienced it a couple of years ago, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, and then you got into the formulas or you got into all this stuff. And you've been asking, there's some people here that have been praying this prayer in this week that has been passed. Say, Lord, I am not satisfied. I'm frustrated, actually, Lord. I want more of you. Because without you, I can do nothing. We want to pray with you today. And I don't just want to say to the young people, I want to say this is specifically a word to some people, Christians, that have been saved for more than 3 years. God wants to set us free. Free from religion. Free from all this stuff. So as we're going to worship God, if God is speaking to you today, we're going to pray a prayer over your life. Very simple prayer. But I'm going to ask you just to grace us by coming to the front, because then we can know who you pray for. Because when you come and there's an invitation, then it means like you say me. Like going to a wedding, you must respond. Say, I'm coming. Otherwise, if you pitch there, your name is not going to be on the list. And that's why protocol by responding when the Holy Spirit draws us is so important. Not rushing out, but saying, yes, God, here am I. That's what he wants to do today. I can't do anything for you, the prayer person here in front, but you must come and you must tell God what he's done, what you're opening your heart to. You do it. We don't even need to pray for you in front. But it's just a sign of surrender. Saying, Lord, fill me again. Lord, come as I yield to you. Make everything new again. Because God is into the new business, not into taking old cars and patching everything up. He does a perfect work. So Richard, can we sing a song? If you want to commit your life to Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him, you had a religious experience, then I want you to come and stand right here in front and show me, because you are the most important person here today. We cannot, the other people are secondary. Their needs are secondary to you getting saved today. Because this is what eternity is about. So if that's you, as the other people, as some are going to come, if nobody comes, that's fine. Then we just worship the Lord. But I know God spoke to me this morning and he said, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know. Because the Bible tells me so. There's a spiritual inheritance that we must come back to. An urgency. A prophetic place of being ready. The church in the West especially. So let's worship God. I want to come to the front. We're going to pray with you.
Sing, how great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. If all will see how great. How great is our God.
Urgency inside of me that there's somebody here that should be in the front. It's actually extremely serious. It's actually extremely serious. The Lord is saying, and you know it, and you are hovering, you are wondering, should you or shouldn't you? You actually don't want people to see. But the Lord is saying, what you decide today is going to decide your future. We can't be double-minded anymore. And it's somebody that's double-minded here this morning. You are wondering, should you or should you not? But it's like a pride or a something that is holding you back. And the Lord says, decide today who you will serve. It's as simple as that. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve the idols of your own life? It's extremely serious and you know who the Lord is speaking to here today. I think it's even more than one person. There's really an urgency at this time. Just in history, in general, the Lord, it's like there's a... Like, although we've met God and we know that we're saved, it's like God's wanting to just bring us into another place with Him. And we need to respond. It's a place that's much closer to His heart than what it's ever been before. And the Lord wants you to grab this opportunity to come closer to Him. He wants you to respond. He really wants to touch you and He wants to take you into it. It's a cost. There's a cost involved. And you're not so sure that you want to pay the price. But the Lord says, I'm going to reward you. Just like He said to that young man, the rich young man, He said to him, sell all your stuff. This has got nothing to do with selling anything. But He said to him, sell all your stuff and follow me. Give it to the poor. And there was something that held him back. He felt very sad. And there's the sadness inside of you. You're nervous to come. Because you're nervous God is going to take everything away from you and give you nothing in return. But as soon as that young man left, the Lord shared, Jesus shared with His disciples, He said, if we let go of anything that he requires of us, He will give us so much more in return. There's the promise of incredible fullness, and the Lord just wants you to break through that trust barrier. There's a place of where you know you don't trust. You don't really trust God. And God wants you to respond because He's going to put that trust in your heart. He's going to really transform you incredibly if you will respond this morning. And there's nothing that you will from then onwards withhold from God, because you will know that He's faithful. You've got it like a faith crisis in your life. And the Lord wants to break that this morning. And all He needs for you to do is just step out of that place. Just step out of that place of holding back, of fear of giving up. And the Lord's going to do a breakthrough in your life this morning. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it in your life. You're going to see the reward of the Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming forward.
There's somebody, intense intellectual battles right now in your mind that's going on, and you're just like thinking, no, everything inside of you is resisting, but the Lord is just saying, come. He's just saying, come. When you come, it's not about the person on the left or the right of you today. It's not about you walking out in front of your kids or anything. It's about just saying to the Holy Spirit today, Lord, I want that. I want that place, that secret place with you. I want that fellowship with you. And especially if you've not been spirit-filled, if you've not been prayed for to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we would love to pray with you today. Because it's all over Scripture. There's a man here that's you with a striped. Yes, you. What's your name? Phil. Will. Rudolph. Rudolph, I just sense God is saying that you've got an intense hunger for Him. And there's a desire, there's certain desires in your heart that is just overwhelming you by sometimes, but you're actually at a very good place today with God. And the Lord says, am I right? The fact is, God is just saying that it's time for you to, there's like a, there's a building, I see, the Lord showed me a picture of a building, and you must take robes and you must hang the curtains of glory. I don't know what that means, but the Lord says it's time to furnish the building. Because what you've been sensing in your heart is the right thing. And you just keep on, because it's going to even increase. Don't say to God, stop at a stage. Because what God is about to do is just move with Him. Just flow with Him. He's going to give you more. Does that make sense to you? You just go on. There's also a lady here. Where is that lady? That lady at the... you're standing with your hands like this, younger lady. What's your name? Sorry? Nadine. That one, yeah. Okay, you know who you are. I just had a sense that the Lord is today going to bring a freedom in your life. And there's certain promises, and just say yes to that. He's gonna just bring you into place. Don't worry about the stuff around you. There are lots of stuff bugging you at the moment, and there's lots of stuff just coming to press in on your mind and on your spirit. And the Lord says He's gonna remove that completely. And John, the Lord finds you faithful. I just believe God says, I must just encourage you with the fact of your faithfulness to serve God. But He's going to release His favor over your life. I sense in my heart, my spirit, He's going to just expect His favor in this time. Because you've been giving Him glory, but there's certain stuff that you're waiting for breakthrough through. And just ask God. Just receive it. Just thank God. Because today in front of all of these people, He's saying yes. There are two specific things that's going to happen. In the next while, it's just going to blow your mind. But you just say to God, yes. Your promises are yes and amen to God. Does that make sense to you? You go for that. And you ask God specifically, okay? You see, if you're visiting here today, the Word of God knows exactly what's going on in your life. And I just sense there's a spirit of prophecy here this morning, an ability to speak God's will and His Word over life. So if you're in a desperate place today, maybe you don't want to respond to one of these things as we're going to worship God. Why don't you just come to the front? We would love to pray with you. We're not a prophet on call or anything like that. But all we know is that God speaks. And He wants to release His Word over your life. To just set you free, because there's a liberty where the Holy Spirit is. Amen? And the rest of us, we're going to just respond to God. We're going to formally dismiss the meeting. But please don't chat inside here. This is time of worship. If you want to go and have fellowship, do it outside. Let's embrace that calling of the Holy Spirit. as we just worship God. Can we sing in the Spirit for a while? We're not ashamed to sing in the Spirit. We can sing in church. If you cannot sing in the Spirit, we're going to just sing in your own songs.